Are you struggling to create engaging content for your B2B brand? Let Podcast Town help. Our expert services will help you develop a successful content marketing strategy, making your brand stand out and increase revenue. With our guidance, you'll create quality content that resonates with your audience and builds brand loyalty. Visit our website at podcasttown.net to learn more and to get started today. We help you launch, grow, and maximize. Hello and welcome to another episode of Journey to Mastery. I'm really getting used to saying that after saying the other name of the show for so long. I'm super excited. It must be a sign because I keep coming across people who are in sales and who are experts in sales. So maybe that's the, you know, God telling me that I need to get better at sales or something. But I'm super excited to have Carl Becker here and we're going to talk sales, how to master sales. So Carl, before we get into all of the juicy good stuff, can I get an oh yeah?
I want to do a sell yeah or an oh yeah, but a sell yeah.
That's different. I've never had anybody do that one. I like that. Okay, so Carl, how did you get into sales in the first place? Because sales is not something that, you know, most people wake up and say, you know what, I want to go sell some stuff. How'd you get into sales?
You know, to me, it was a means to an end. And what I mean by that is, even as a little kid, I was the kid, if you know, you drove up and you maybe have a neighbor like this, where the little kid comes running out and say, like, hey, how's it going? How was your day? I was kind of that kid. I just liked to connect with people. And as I became an adult, I kind of said, why was that? And I realized that I'm not one of those people that is traditional. Like, school was hard for me. I went through it just fine, but it was really hard. And as an adult, I learned that I actually had dyslexia and I'm 51 years old. So if you go back in time, that wasn't really a thing. So I think part of what happened was the way I had to navigate in the world was through human connection. Because if I read a textbook, it would be painstakingly slow. If I'm writing stuff down from the board, slow. And so the way of getting knowledge from me wasn't like streamlined. And so I think as I think about how did I get into sales, I think it first started with I got really good at connecting with other human beings. And that was, I think, partially out of survival, because if I was going to learn and navigate the world, I had to get my data some other way. And so I've always been a get your hands dirty type of guy, like just go and do it. Like, let's not think about it. Let's go and do it. And then if we kind of like fast forward, I'm a creative guy. I just love ideas. I love an inspiration and I love to share it. And if you have an idea and you share it with me, I'm going to like ping pong ball it back and forth. Like I'm going to take it, try to learn it, send it back to you, and we're going to end up co-creating. And what I realized is that is the process of a really good salesperson. Understanding somebody, communicating back to ensure you understand. And then if you can be of service to them and solve it, you start to provide solutions. And guess what? If they say yes, now you're a salesperson. You've created something. And so in my mind, when I think salesperson, I think that. Now I realize a lot of us think, oh, the salesperson at the car dealership, a realtor, somebody that's like helping me with a transaction. But I would even push further that anybody that's connecting, learning, providing a solution, getting into kind of co-creation together, you're a salesperson. So I guess I would say I've always been one. And as I've gotten older, I've turned my career into helping others, building a company where we help others. But that's how I define a salesperson. So I guess I've always been selling.
Got it.
So yeah.
So talk about that a little bit. What, and the thing that I think trips a lot of people up is the patience that you need to have in order to be effective. Speak to that a little bit. Why is it important to have patience during the process of connecting with people?
Yeah. First, I want to put out there, look, I'm going to call it straight commission almost my entire life. I see myself as an entrepreneur, but as an entrepreneur, you're kind of straight commission. No one's giving you a base salary. No one's giving you benefits, right? So it's up to you to make things happen. And so I'm kind of a believer in that first and foremost. But I'll tell you, if you're that owner or you're a salesperson, you're like, that's fine, Carl. But if I don't sell or close X dollars by the end of the month, I don't make payroll. I can't pay my bills. I get that. I want you to know that's really real. So what I'm about to say here, it might not be a light switch. Like today is one way, tomorrow is the next. It's probably more of a journey or a transition. But the first thing I would say is there's so much more value in lifetime value. If you're a realtor, imagine you can not only help that person with their house purchase, but if they ever sell it, if their parents move to town, if they decide to buy the kid a condo or something like that when they go to college, you want to be able to be with that person if you are a realtor over time versus just that one transaction. Same if you sell cars, right? You want to not just sell this car, but you want to sell it for the family and all their friends. And the list goes on no matter what you do, even if you're in like professional services or even if you sell a SaaS platform. You really want the client for life. And I think the juxtaposition of that is, oh my God, I got to close this now because we need money. I need to make payroll. So the first thing I would say is if you can start to change the way you think of sales as getting to know someone, getting to know their life, what their life is like, their business's life, what the problems that they have, what their wishes are. If you really understand someone's world, you can start to sell a lot more effectively because that person feels understood. You start to build rapport, you start to get trust, and you unlock that lifetime value. So the first thing I would say is yes, in the right now, probably are feeling impatient. There's things you want to close. And I kind of use the analogy if you're in sports, like you're gripping the bat too hard. If you ever feel like you're doing that with sales, you start to kind of create a weird energy or vibe. So even if you're like, hey, I can't always be patient. I can't always play for lifetime value. My invitation to you would be in the short term, if you feel like you're gripping that bat too tight, loosen it, breathe a little bit, try to give that person you're trying to work with in that deal you're trying to close a little bit more space, because most likely you'll increase your odds of closing instead of creating this weird energy that that other person's picking up on. So I think to answer your question more pointedly, it all depends on what you're playing for. And if you're really trying to build lifetime value, long-term experiences, things like that, then there's a lot of value in patience. And the last thing I would tell you is not everybody's ready to buy. You know, a lot of times when we get a lead, they just want to learn. But if we jump right to, hey, can I get you this thing? Can you buy it today? A lot of times we kind of scare people away and we create a relationship that I don't think any of us really want, even if you were the person being sold to.
Talk a little bit about knowing how you should sell, because there's different styles, there's different methodologies of selling, and not everyone is a right fit for every person, right? So speak to that a little bit. What are the different styles of selling, and how do we know which one is a right fit for us?
That's a really deep and actually a really smart question, because I want you to imagine you're a sales manager or an owner of a company, and you've got even just two or three salespeople. They are not robots. They're not going to sell the same way. But a lot of times I think we're trained or we believe that there's a sales process and it needs to be rigid and this is how we do it. And you might have even have had a consultant come in or read a book or you took a class and you're like, this is how we have to do it every single time. I get back to every person's different. Everybody has different skills. And a lot of times we say salesperson and we think they are good at business development. They are good at account growth. They are good at upselling, cross-selling, and la, 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 la. And I think that's like saying, you know, we're all people and therefore we're all the same. Like it's just too broad. So in that context, I think the first thing I would do is if you're an individual listening or if you have a team, kind of ask yourself, like, what gets you going? You know, why did you get in sales in the first place? Do you love meeting new people? And, you know, you're the life of the party. If you were traveling and in the airport right now listening, you've already talked to two or three people and you've kind of like made airport friends over the last hour, then you're probably somebody that should be more in what we would call hunting or business development. You're somebody that you want to be out talking and you thrive on the new person, the new conversation. Even you could call it the chase, though I don't really like to use terms that kind of feel derogatory, but like you kind of are excited about the new relationship and seeing where it goes. If you have a job where you're supposed to be an account manager or you're taking inbound calls and you're just kind of fulfilling an order, you're probably in the wrong seat. But if you're like, oh my God, if I'm at the airport or I would never want to do that, like I'm at the coffee shop, I don't want to talk to anybody. But if my best friend came in, I would have a very deep conversation. Maybe you're much more introverted and yet you still like human connection and you want to be able to take accounts and grow them. So the first thing I would say to answering that question is like, where are you within the sales organization? Because the same salesperson can't do all of that. Sure, there's some unicorns out there, but we want to play to people's strengths because that starts to kind of like elevate them. So I guess that would be my first thing. My second would be, you know, do you just like being of service really quickly? You know, do you want a job where somebody comes to you with a problem right away? Like this is more of your like SaaS product or somebody, maybe you work in construction or a plumbing or home services and somebody's calling you with an immediate need and you would just want to connect with them, understand the need, tell them what to do, move forward. And it's a short relationship, but you feel complete at the end of the day. Then that's probably a good fit for you. But if you're somebody that likes complex puzzles and relationship building and rapport, and you want to sell something complex because your mind wants that puzzle, then that's probably a whole different model of selling where it's very deep in discovery, building trust, understanding a situation at a much deeper level, and knowing that you're going to have a very long sales cycle. And if you do have a long sales cycle, you're somebody that wants to be organized, like super organized, and making sure nothing falls through the cracks. So I'm not sure I address like sales styles, but I think it kind of first starts with like, where are you in the world of sales?
Mm-hmm. To speak to, you mentioned before, not everybody is ready to buy. I think that percentage is somewhere in upwards of 95%. Speak to that a little bit.
Oh my gosh. You know, you're asking me these questions that are like right out of like my soul. So I love it. I'll give you a scenario. You know, this is going to be a little overblown, but I'm trying to just share it so that you're like, oh yeah, I get that. So in today's world, we have marketing teams and we have sales teams. And traditionally, I've seen those as like twins. They have the same parent. They might kind of look the same, but they're not the same. They're part of the same family, but they're very different human beings. But they're brothers. They're related. And so we run around acting like we're not brothers and we don't have the same parents. But in reality, we are. But what happens with like marketing is, you know, marketing's out trying to attract people, right? One to many, getting people to raise their hand and come in. And oftentimes as the owner or the CEO, the person in charge, we're like, hey, everything's a lead. All leads are created equal. You know, how many leads did you get today? Marketing says 100, sales says 1. What's going on there? Well, marketing's talking about bringing in people that have some level of interest. They're curious, right? It's kind of like, let's think you want to buy a house, but you know you're a year away. You still might take your weekends every now and then with your partner driving around and looking at neighborhoods. It doesn't mean you're ready to buy. It just means you're curious. And a lot of times marketing brings in people like that. They're just curious. And then yet on the other side, sales is going, hey, marketing, I need some leads so that I can close this business. And so they call the leads that have come in and the people don't return the call. They don't pick up. They don't want to talk. They're not ready to buy. And sales starts to go, what? What's going on? You know, like these leads are horrible. They're not horrible. They're just not ready to buy. So everybody has like a buyer's journey, if you will. Like think of it just like if you ever, you know, decided to have a kid, you started to think about all the things that you're going to need to do. You know, the hospital, where do we need a bigger house? Who's going to help watch the child? Things like that. You were in discovery mode before you were like, hey, here's the baby. And so to me, we've got to get clear that if we sell to a certain person, what is their buyer's journey? What are the stages of their decision to ultimately buy what you sell? And to realize that when we know that, different teammates might have different responsibilities within that journey. So to me, that's the demystifying what's really going on, because oftentimes we think everybody as salespeople that enter are just ready to buy. And to your point, I would say 95% of the people are just curious. They're kicking tires. They're driving around the neighborhood. Is that a house I like? Is this a neighborhood I like? To go back to that example. So some of it is just trying to get really clear how you meet people and where they are. How do you meet them where they are? And then know that you're going to have different skills, different conversations, different deliverables to meet them in all those different places with the ultimate goal to be either moving them closer or to the bottom of your funnel or out to another company because they're not a fit so that you can put your energy and time to the people that are.
Yeah, I love that. So give us some insider secrets here, Carl. How do you know when you're talking with somebody, you meet them for the first time, you're having a conversation, what are some cues to know if they're a right fit, if they're not right now? What's going through your mind, Carl, as you're having these conversations to qualify or disqualify people?
Yeah, super, super smart question. It kind of gets to my book, Iceberg Selling. There's 5 best practices that I recommend people follow. I'm going to hit those really quickly and then I'll answer your question because I think a little bit of a pattern or a way of being might help as I answer your question. So the whole idea with iceberg selling, and this is why I love what you asked, is most people, including us, I want you all to pretend that you're an iceberg. Your partners, your kids, your spouses, your clients, the people you work with are all icebergs. And what I mean by that is at any one time, they're probably only showing you 10% of what's really going on in their life. And if you think about that movie where called Titanic, right? They only saw a part of that iceberg. And when they realized it was so massive, it was too late. So what I'm encouraging you to do is start to realize that if I can see the 90% below the surface, the part of the iceberg that's underwater, the more of that I can see, the more I can understand where somebody is, which now enables me to meet them where they are much better. So with that context, there's kind of 5 things I recommend doing, and then I'll circle back. So the first one is do the research. And this might sound like super basic, but it is. How can you find what's obvious, almost like the 10% above? The example I like to give is my dad turned 80 this year, and I wanted to do a surprise birthday party. And if you just started to think about that, Carl, you want to do a surprise birthday party for an 80-year-old? You might be like, that's a bad idea. You don't want to surprise an 80-year-old. Clue number one, right? Doing the research. If I did want to have a party with him, a couple things. It's not going to be at night because he's not going to want to drive at night. His friends aren't going to want to drive at night. And if it is at a restaurant, it's not going to be noisy. It's going to be well lit. There's not going to be stairs because he might have some friends that have some like mobility issues. And I know this sounds a little grim. You're like, oh my God, this sounds horrible. But the point is, the more I know before I begin, when I do plan that party for my dad, when I do meet with that prospect for the first time, the odds of me understanding their world out of the gate is much higher. And by doing that, that person feels understood immediately. And that allows people to open up. And when they open up and show you more and more of their iceberg, then real conversation can happen. So the first step is like, do the research. And here's another one. Here's like a little mini pro tip. If you work at a company where there's a CRM and maybe the company's been in business for a very long time and you have a lead, I would say, look in the CRM first. Maybe they've already talked to you in the past versus getting on the call or meeting with them and be like, so what brings you in today? And they're like, oh my God, you know, you've quoted my project 3 times over the last 3 years, right? It's setting yourself up to be successful. So the first one is like, just do the research. The second one, and I'm not going to get into these very deep right now, but is like, how do you manage the meeting? How do you get them to understand what's ahead of them? So it might be, hey, in the next 30 minutes, I'd really love to learn more about you. I did some research. It seems like what your company's doing is really curious, but like, how do you join the company? What are you looking to solve? Like if we could have a magic wand and solve all your problems today, what would your new world look like? But what you're, and then from there, I would like to move to talking about me and how we might be able to help you. And then from there, I'm going to see if it makes sense to work together. And if it does, let's brainstorm what that might look like. You're kind of setting the schedule or like what the vision of what the meeting is going to look like. And that helps people because they don't want to be tricked. They don't want to feel like there's a gotcha around the corner. So if you can kind of say, here's the blueprint of our time and get them to say, yes, that sounds good. Now you have that playing field where you can start to really get into richer and richer conversation because they know there's nothing around the corner where there's going to be like a gotcha. The next one is like making sure you build rapport. If you're a salesperson, you're also a human. Share about yourself. Share about your personal like, experiences, why you started that company, who you work with. Make it a conversation. Pretend like the person you're selling to, you're at a bar and they're a friend of a friend and you're just starting to get to know them. Like create an environment where you get to build rapport. And then the fourth one is testing for success. This is where, hey, did I really get you? And if I got you, what do you think of these solutions? And then we go from there. And then the last is clear next steps. So making sure that before you leave the meeting, they're ready to go. And if you do this right, most likely what they'll do is they'll tell you, what do we do next? You won't have to, quote, sell them or ask for the order. They will tell you if you run a really good meeting. So in that construct, my answer to your question is like, how do you know where they are? It's really about being patient, doing the work, asking open-ended questions, putting yourself out there and listening. Like the best thing you can be as a salesperson is asking really good questions and then listening for the answers and then asking for clarification. And when you do that, I mean, you know what this is like when you've met a friend that really cares about you and is focused on you. Maybe they turn their phone down, they turn it off, they're engaged in a conversation. A lot more possibility opens. And so I guess I would tell you is if you do those things, they'll start to tell you where they are in the journey. And once you know that, you can kind of decide how to meet them with the next step. And you can get into kind of co-creation of what some next steps might look like.
What are some key red flags? You're talking to a prospect. What are some things that when they say these things, when they do these things, it's a clear indication that this is not
a good fit. The first one is hopefully you have at your company or even personally some core values, things that you really believe in for yourself and for your company. And if you're finding that person kind of slipped in, they looked at your website, they heard things, and for some reason, they think you are the perfect fit and you start to talk to them and you're really misaligned on something. I'll give you an example. I was at a conference and I did a presentation, and about a week later, somebody that was in the audience reached out and he was the CEO of a company. And he was like, Carl, I really like what you have to say about, you know, up-leveling your team and your sales team and coaching them. I just need you to come in and kick butt and call these guys and just like whip them into shape. And I was like, whoa, like no part of me whips anybody into shape. Number one, you know, and number two, I don't go around kicking anybody's butt. Like I get people to understand the ahas and I start to help them modify the job and their role to leverage them up. So right there, that was like, wow, we're not aligned. And if I kept going, yes, 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 ultimately that's probably going to be an experience where he's not happy, I'm not happy, his salespeople aren't happy. But you get the idea, right? So at first, there's probably just a, are we people that can work together? Do we have similar values? And I would say core values. You know, you don't necessarily have to be on the same side of the aisle. I don't think, that's not what I'm trying to say. But it's like that guy, how he wanted me to treat his team is not aligned with who I am. It would be a horrible fit. The second one is you start to think about how they want to buy. And if they're all about price, 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 how much, why do you charge that much? Why is it that much? And they're just like down to price all the time. Unless you're Walmart or somebody that like sells on price and that's your jam, that's probably the wrong fit. And you have two options there. You can kind of like change the narrative and say, this is how we work. You know, we really try to understand value. And I believe the value I'm going to create is this. And I believe it's worth that. And if you want this type of value, then let's move forward. If not, that's all right. You know, go down the street to competitor A. They might be a better fit. Another type might be somebody that's really confident. They want you to solve it for them. What I'm trying to say is like, strike the word confident. Like they're trusting. They know that you're the expert. They want you to be confident in the solution. They're kind of like, hey, you're the expert. You tell me. And if you're the type of person that works well, like that type of scenario and solving and bringing it forth, then that's probably a great fit. So there's clues like that. The last one I would say is if they're looking for a miracle and you don't sell miracles, that's probably a warning sign too. Like, oh my God, we got to do this because if we don't, this bad thing's going to happen. We need you to come in and fix it, or we need your solution to fix everything. And if you're like, oh my gosh, there's no way my solution can fix everything, and certainly not in 7 days, then there's probably a reset there. And at that point in time, are they aligned with the reset or not? And if they say yes, you're probably going to have to keep going back, getting them to remember what they said, because they're probably in a little bit of desperation. So those are like the big clues, I would say. I hope that answered the question, or at least gave you something to think about.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff. The other thing that I often think about is for me at least, there's a gut feel. A lot of times,
I'm so glad you said that.
I felt it. I didn't listen, and I regretted it. Probably 98% of the time, like I knew this was not a good fit. I knew it, but I signed up with them anyway, and it just didn't work. The other thing is, I it's funny because when you you mentioned before, when you listen, people will tell you everything that you want to know. I'll give you an example. There's this person. We'll just say person to save the innocent. And they were just dead set on meeting in person. They just wanted to meet in person, despite the fact that the meeting was virtual. But they just had to meet in person. And to me, that says, number one, they don't respect my time and they don't respect my boundaries. They probably aren't going to change that when we start working together. So that's very subtle. But I think just little clues like that let you know that it's probably not going to be a good fit. Am I crazy? Carl, is that?
You're right. I mean, if you think about a business, once it hits a level of maturity, we're clear on how we can create the value in the most effective way. And I think the gut feel is when we know we can't, or somebody's asking us to do something that we've seen that movie before. We're like, I'm not going to do that. I've seen that movie. And unfortunately, I've probably seen it way too many times. So can I today get clear for what I need, what my business needs, maybe what my delivery team needs, and not do this again? You know, sales is often, it's kind of tongue in cheek, but you know, they sell the vision and operations or delivery needs to service the nightmare. So we have to be careful with our teams, if we work in a big one, to make sure we are bringing in the right people. And if it's, you know, somebody where you also do the work, it's the same thing. You got to make sure you're taking care of yourself and delivering the value that you have. And if someone wants to keep bending things, yeah, most likely they are somebody that's going to continue to want to bend. And if you don't have a business like that, yeah, I think that's probably a really good warning sign. And it doesn't mean they're not a fit for someone else. I'm a yes, but guy. Yes, or even a no, but like, no, I can't help you, but this guy can. Or yes, that's a really good idea. I can understand how you want to work that way, but I'm not a good fit, but this person is, right? I want to make sure that I'm always delivering value and I'm not like burning any bridges, but I also have to be very clear for me and my team, or if I'm at a company, that we're bringing in really good fits, because it also ends up hitting the bottom line. It's just not only emotional, you're decreasing your emotional profit, if you will, but also your financial profit.
Yeah. I have to ask this question, Carl. What are you on a journey to master?
Yeah. There's a lot of different answers I'd have there. The one that shows up for me that's personal, and then I'll give you my professional one. The personal one is something where I am right now. I'm really trying to master balance. And what I mean by that is I want to think you to think of a simple pie chart, right? In my past, my pie chart has maybe been 20% family, 80% work. There was no Carl in that pie chart. And then I evolved a little bit, and it might have been like 1 to 5% Carl, depending on the day, 20% family, and, you know, still 70 to 80% work. And what I've realized is I can't be the best I can be for myself and for my family and for my clients if I'm so out of whack, right? And so I'm not sure it's a 30, 30, 30, or a third, but I'm working really, really strongly to not only create that pie chart of balance that's right for me, but also prioritizing it. Because if I can't hold that priority, it will start to slip back into 80 or 90% client. So what I'm really trying to master for myself is prioritizing me and realizing that if I do that, I'm actually more effective for me, happier and more effective for others. So that's kind of like my personal journey. From a work one, it's really about helping people in sales let go of head trash, helping people that run sales teams or smaller companies that are trying to build one to feel empowered to be able to actually build a happy, and I really mean happy, happy and high-performing sales organization. Because I think salespeople are amazing. We make the world go round, right? We put the fuel in the cars and the engines that create payroll and the economy. So those are the two things that I'm playing for right now.
I love that. I often say when thinking about balance, there's different weights to different aspects of our lives. And so it's not like family time is 40 pounds and work is 40 pounds. I always like to think about it as dedicated, focused, in the moment time with the family is far more weighty, more heavy, more valuable than the 40 hours at work, right? We know we have to do that. It's part of how we support our families. So, and that's over the years, that's helped me to really kind of think about how do I show up in those spaces and in those moments and give them my full self. But to your point, that's virtually impossible unless I'm taking care of me. So I love how you mentioned that, you know, you're wanting to do more of, you know, focusing on Carl. What makes me happy? What elevates my joy meter and gives me energy? So that's really cool to hear you say.
Yeah, thank you. I'm taking that weight example. I'm walking away with that today. That's awesome. I can feel that and see it. So yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
So Carl, if people want to reach out to you, learn more about you, your book, it was Iceberg Selling. How can they do that?
Super appreciate that. So the easiest is if you start thinking iceberg, just think Iceberg Selling. And it's icebergselling.com. And there's ways you can buy the book on Amazon or Audible. There's links to my corporate site, which is Improving Sales Performance. That's the work we do around building and optimizing sales organizations, all the way from small, mid-sized companies and that might have one or two or five or 10 salespeople too. We also work with really big companies where we're working with a department or a team. But I would say the easiest is icebergselling.com. There's also links to my LinkedIn and a contact form. I accept all invites. I always answer questions. So if you're something that I said and you're like, hey, tell me more, shoot me a message through LinkedIn or through the form and I'll answer you. But icebergselling.com is probably the easiest thing to remember.
Cool, cool. Well, I appreciate your time, Carl.
This has been super fun and I love the questions. It really made me think. Super good stuff.
I appreciate it. What a fantastic episode. Hey, listen, I want to know something. What is the top concern that you have in your business? Is it sales? Is it marketing? Is it finance? Operations? Shoot me an email, mayor@podcasttown.net. I want to start a conversation around these areas of business and how we can work together and help each other shine even brighter.